But in John chapter 5, Jesus does something a little interesting we looked at last week. He said, if you don't believe me, what I say about myself, I got four witnesses I want to bring to the stand. And he gave the witness of John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John gave witnesses that this was he that God had sent. He gave the witness of his miracles. He said, the things that I do bear witness of me. Remember, Nicodemus says, you know, Rabbi, we know that no man can do these miracles unless God be with him. He gave the witness of the Father. Remember when Jesus baptized, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then we're on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The Father gave that witness. And then there was a witness of the Bible. He said, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. And we ask that question, who did Jesus believe he was? I believe without a doubt, looking at the Bible and knowing what I know in my heart through the witness of his Holy Spirit, he is and was the Son of God. Amen? He was, he is, and he always will be the Son of God. And the question this morning, bringing up to that, was Jesus a socialist? I never thought I'd preach a message like this, but this is what God's laid on my heart. A lot of people today want to lay their socialistic beliefs at the feet of Jesus and say that Jesus was a socialist. And they point to the book of Acts and say, well, the early church was socialistic in nature. They had their possessions. They sold them and gave to those that they had need and shared the proceeds with others. So we're going to answer the question this morning, was Jesus a socialist? But first off, I want us to look at the definition of socialism. You know, I almost got a headache when I started looking at this. I started going on the internet and looking at different Socialist Party of the United States of America, their platform out there on the internet, other groups, their platform of socialism out there. And some of them, most of them were very, very lengthy and very, very complicated, exceedingly complicated. And I about got a headache. But I tried to narrow it down to just five simple points. And I want you to look at them with me this morning. First point was socialism doesn't believe there should be classes of people. Everyone should have the same income, same standard of living. Second point, there should be an elimination of competition. Everyone is to share equally in the resources of the society. Third point, there is to be an abolition of private property. For the common good, no one can possess something that someone else cannot. Four, go back to four. Don't have four. Missing four. All right, let me give it to you. Everyone is to share in all beliefs and prosperity. If someone doesn't work, though they are still to share in the prosperity of others, it's called a redistribution of wealth. You ever heard that before? There it is. And then the fifth one. Government is to control all means of production and distribution of goods. For the preceding four to be attained, someone or some group needs to oversee the society. Government is to assume that role. Now that's as much as I could narrow it down to. That's the basics of socialism. So I want to ask the question, well, was Jesus a socialist? Would he agree with these statements? And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, and I want to look at the parable of the talents. Because I think it addresses what Jesus' view was on these points very well. And you might say, well, that's just a parable. Well, remember the definition of a parable. A parable, according to the definition, Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, a short story that teaches a moral and spiritual truth. More importantly, a story that is true in its nature. So if we're going to ask the question this morning, was Jesus a socialist? We need to look at what he said in his story. So I want us to read Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word, if you're able? If you're not, it's okay. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. So ought you have to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for all your grace and mercy. Lord, help us to see your truth this morning. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord, that they would realize this morning that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, and where they would cast their life on you. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts about what our beliefs are, what we believe about you and your truth. Lead me and guide me with your Holy Spirit, I pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, my Redeemer, for in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice some things. In this passage of Scripture, in this parable, in this truth, I want you to notice the first thing, if you're feeling in your little outline on the bulletin, not all people are given the same resources and abilities. Now look at verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Now, sometimes we get a little bit out of touch with these things when Bible things and terminology. A talent, we think today, if somebody is talented, we say they got a lot of abilities, maybe musically or otherwise, we say they have a talent. But a talent in Bible times was a measure of money. Notice one was given 10 talents. 1, 2, and another 1. The Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you 5 talents. I'm going to give you 2, and I'm going to give you 1. And notice each one was given an amount based on their abilities according to his own ability. The Lord made it a difference in the people there. Now, everyone is given an equal opportunity when it comes to be forgiven and saved in God's kingdom. Amen? And someone said this way, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. But we are very varied when it comes to everything from our looks, our money, our intelligence, our education, our abilities, our inheritance, our opportunities. We're all different. Aren't you glad? How'd you like to have an old church full of me? God made us all different, especially in the looks department. Amen. If everybody looked like me, wouldn't you get tired of that? Amen. God made us all different. But he gave different amounts to his different servants. Now, I want you to go back and look at point one of socialism again. Socialism doesn't believe that there should be classes of people. Everyone should have the same income, standard of living, benefits, etc. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't certainly start off with everyone being equal in our society. When it came to opportunity, when it came to income, when it came to standard of living and things like that and benefits, he was different with them. He said in his parable that he gave them according to his ability. Everybody was different there. You know, if we go along with this tenet of socialism, that all are being equal, you know, all motivation is moot. Whether you succeed or work harder or try to do better in your life, you're not supposed to do that. It all becomes an equal platform. And the motivation for bettering yourself has gone away. Jesus said he gave them according to their ability. Notice the second point. They were to invest and work with what they'd been given. We read down verse 16 through 23 there, how that they took what the Lord had given them, they took and they went out and they invested it and they traded. The word that traded there really meant, just means worked or labored. They didn't just take it and say, hey, I'm going to go just put this in the stock market or I'm going to go put this in the bank. He said, you should have done that to the one that was wicked and lazy. But they went and labored with it and they worked with what God had given them. Can I tell you something? God expects us to work. God expects us to labor. God expects us to strive. He expects us to do our very best with what he's given to us. See, what do we do with what he's entrusted to us? What do we do with our financial well-being? I saw something the other day on the internet, a little, you know, you don't know if these things are true, but the it's kind of like the parable, the illustration is true. This guy had bought a brand new Corvette, and some guy said, look at that. You spent all that money on that. That could have been used to feed children overseas and could have been done to this and help other people and everything like that. And that guy says, well, yeah, you're right. But be behind that Corvette, help pay the salaries of all those people that work up the factory at Bowling Green. It helped the people in the copper mines and mine the copper for the wiring in it. It helped, and he just went on through all the things in that car that was in money, went into the car that helped to feed and to help and make a living for somebody else. That's called God's way, amen? Now, we give to others, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what do we do with our mental capabilities? What do we do with our education, our acquired skills, the things we've learned? What do we do with our physical talents and gifts that God's given us, the resources we've been given, the inheritances? And when we talk about inheritance, I'm not just always talking about money. You know, my mom and dad gave me a lot of things that was more valuable than money, from character and things that they taught me. What do we do with our careers and our places of opportunity? We live in a land of opportunity in America. Yes, there's a lot of problems in our nation, but it's certainly still a land of opportunity. I've been overseas in several countries, and I've seen what a lot of those people go through. They work all month and maybe make $30 a month. What are we doing with our opportunities that God gives us? Which brings me to this. Are we willing to work with what God has given us? Jesus expected his servants to work and invest what they were given. Notice in verse 24 through 27, then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent. Notice he said, your talent? Look, you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. So ought you have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I will receive back my own with interest. Notice what he calls him, a wicked and lazy servant. That's pretty stout, amen. You know, I think about it today. It seems like in our society today that if you say anything to anybody that they get their feelings hurt, everybody's going all crazy with political correctness. Can I get a witness? This Lord didn't mince words. He said, you're wicked and you're lazy. Go tell somebody that today and see how it goes over. Amen. Look back at point number two of socialism. There should be elimination of competition. Everyone is to share equally in the resources of society. Are these men in competition in Jesus' parable? No. Well, not with one another. Their standard that they attained was not based on what someone else had done, but what were they being faithful to what their Lord gave them. Let me tell you something. Our benchmark with what we have and God has given us is not what someone else is doing or has done. Our benchmark is, am I being faithful to what God has given me? Hello? Look at the third thing here that Jesus has in his parable. Everything we have belongs to God, not government. We are just the stewards. Now that's the tenet of socialism. But if you look in verse 28 and 29, therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. the Lord gave them. Notice what he said there, that he gave them this. It wasn't Caesar or the Roman government. The Lord gave them these things to work and invest. And notice that the Lord was still the owner. If you look in verse 25, it says this. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Look at verse 27 again. So ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own with interest. You know, it would be a great thing for all of us to understand that every dime you have, every penny you have, every dollar you have, everything that you have, whether it be money or physical ability, it all comes from God. And he's the owner of it. We're just the stewards of it. He was the owner of all they had possessed there. And he took away from the unprofitable servant and gave it to the one who had made the greatest return on what he had given him. Now, that's not politically correct either today. Amen. Now look back at point number three of socialism. There is to be an abolition of private property for the common good. No one can possess something that someone else cannot. Now that, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a redistribution of wealth to me, does it, you? Taking away from one who didn't have and giving to one who had the most. Rather than taking from him who had and give it to him who had not, he takes from the one who had the least and gave it to the one who had the most. That's backwards what our society is teaching us today. Why would the Lord do that? Why would he take away from that one and only had one, take it away from him and give it to the guy who already had 10? Very simple. He had invested and worked with what had been given him. You know, God rewards hard work. Hello? He rewards diligence. He rewards those of us that try to do our best with what we have, whether it be money or talents or abilities or whatever it has, our education, whatever we have that God has given us, we take it and we use it for his kingdom and his glory. He's going to reward that. I want you to notice the fourth thing here. The Lord rewarded his servants based on what they had done with what they had been entrusted with. Notice here, this is pretty neat to me. They were given equal commendation. Both verse 21 and 23, for the one who had the five talents made five more, the one who had two made two more. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, you didn't do as good as your brother, but you did pretty good. No, he said, both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't look at them and said, because you have so much, you did better than the other guy. No, he said, you both were faithful, you both worked hard, you were a good servant, so therefore, good and faithful servant. He gives them an equal commendation. Notice they were both giving additional opportunity. He gave them authority over many things. There's one of the other gospels records it that he gave them authority over 10 cities and 5 cities and so on like that. He gave them more authority. He gave them more because they had done well with what he had given them. And notice they were given the same reward. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Do you ever think about what that means? What does it mean, the joy of the Lord? I'm not a theologian, okay? But you know what that says to me? To enter in the joy of the Lord, his joy becomes my joy. His peace becomes my peace. His satisfaction becomes my satisfaction. When my Lord is joyful over me, then that brings me joy. When he's at peace on what I've done, that brings me peace. When he is satisfied with me, that brings me satisfaction. Don't you want to do that? Same reward. Didn't matter. One made five and only made two, other one made two. They both were faithful. They both worked hard. Both of them entered into the joy of the Lord. They knew the Lord's joy. Now look back at point number four, socialism. Everyone is to share in all benefits and prosperity. If someone doesn't work, though they are still to share in the prosperity of others, it's called redistribution of wealth. Jesus' parable, he's doing the opposite, the Lord is. Notice the servant who did nothing was held accountable for not doing anything with what he had. But you know, God will either reward us or rebuke us for not using what he's given us. I don't know about you. I want to be rewarded. Not because I want a reward, because I please my Lord. And you know, that tells me I don't have to be Adrian Rogers. I don't have to be Dean Hahn. All I got to do is be Steve Smith. All you have to do is be who you are, who God called you to be, and God, what the gifts and abilities he gave you. You just be what you are and who you are, and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you didn't hear anything else this morning, hear that. You're not in competition with anybody else. We're not in competition with anybody. We're not in competition with the church down the street, nor me with the pastor down the road. And you're not in competition with a Christian across the aisle from you. Just be faithful. Fifth thing. Everyone was given the responsibility of using what he had been given. We saw it here in verse 19 and then on down in 24 through 30. Which brings me to this. The Lord, our Lord holds us accountable for what he's given us. Notice, you remember he said, the one who was wicked and lazy, he said, well, I thought you were a hard man and you reap where you had not sown and you're just a tough guy to work for. Can I tell you something? Believing that Jesus is serving Jesus is difficult and extreme is not an excuse with God. Thinking God is this almighty, all-powerful God who's looking down with anger and vengeance on us and saying, I expect this out of you, and putting ourselves under that kind of a bondage and saying, I'm not going to do anything because he's just too tough and he desires perfection. Well, the perfection was brought to us through Jesus Christ on the cross. Just saying, I can't do it. God's too hard. It's too difficult. That's not an excuse for God. He expects us to be faithful. Notice something else. He doesn't expect us to do what someone else has done. He just expects us to do something with what he's given us. Look back at the fifth point of socialism. Government is to control all means of production and distribution of goods. If for proceeding for to be attained, someone or some group needs to oversee the society. Government is to assume that role. No mention of government in here, just the Lord. You know, there's going to be sorrow one day if we're not faithful. We're not to live off someone else's work. The Lord left them in control of what they'd been given. Notice he's not watching over the shoulder of that. He went on a long journey and was gone a long time. And then he came back. They had been in control of what he'd given them. They had had the resources to do what they had authority to use his resources as they saw fit. You know, one came and said, well, Lord, I went and invested these five that you gave me and I traded with them and I got five more. Another one says, Lord, I took these two that you gave me. I went and invested them and traded with them. I got two more. They were in charge of what God had given them. You know, our Lord doesn't look down on us and say, I'm going to make you do this and this every day. He leaves us in charge of a lot of things that he's given us. How you conduct yourself at work, how hard you work, how you conduct yourself in your neighborhood, what you do, what you say. He leaves that in our hands. One of our members a few minutes ago, I was kind of greeting people for the service, said, saw you at Walmart yesterday. I didn't see him. I was just thinking, well, I hope I didn't do anything stupid. Next time they'll catch me at Food City, David. Amen. You know, there's going to be sorrow one day when we stand before God. As Christians, we'll stand before the judgment seat of God, not for salvation, but for rewards based on what we've done and what we have done. They used the authority that he'd given. God has given you authority. He's given me authority to live our lives according to the dictates of our hearts. Kind of like our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Amen? And that brings me to a question. A couple of questions this morning. Are we to work for our salvation? No, I don't think that's what this is talking about at all. Because it's, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Lest anyone should boast, not of works. So it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about taking the things that God has given us and using them for his kingdom as his lordship. Does Jesus expect us to help those who are poor and cannot help themselves? Yes. I mean, that's all the way through the scripture. Does Jesus hold us accountable to our fellow man? Yes, he does. I want to give you just a few verses out of Matthew chapter 14, and I want to go back and make about three quick observations. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 through 20 says, "When Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is the deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained." I'm going to give you three quick takeaways from that passage. One, when Jesus looked out on the multitudes and had compassion on them, he was just living out where to love our neighbors as ourselves. He had compassion on the multitude, and he expects us to also. Amen. Second thing to take away, I think, is God has given us the resources to help others. They already had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and that was more than enough for the need. Do you know God will never ask you and me to give something that he hadn't already given to us? When there's a need there somewhere, sometimes God's already given us what we need to give to help someone else. When we give, third thing, when we give what we have to bless others, God blesses it and multiplies it. They brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. They gave them to him. He looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him and multiplied it. And you know the neat thing about this? Neither the multitude, the little boy who gave, we read another disciples who gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or the disciples went hungry. Everybody got fed. See, when you and I give what we have to help somebody else, God's not going to let us go without. He's going to take care of us. The question is, what are we doing with what he's given us? What will we do with what he's given us and with what Jesus has entrusted us? What has he given you this morning? What has he entrusted you to use for him, his glory, his kingdom? Let's pray. Father, you gave the greatest gift of all. You gave your son to die on the cross for us. And you've freely given us so many things. Lord, even before we were saved, you sent the rain, the sunshine on us. But Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit to convict us of our need and open our eyes to your truth. That Jesus is the Son of God, the Redeemer. Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice has trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and been saved, been forgiven, knows heaven as their home. Lord, as your children here this morning, you've entrusted so much to us. Yes, you're gone away, it seems, in a far country right now. You've commanded us to do business until you come. God, I pray that you'd help us to take what you've given us, the resources, the abilities, all the things you blessed us with. Help us to invest those for your kingdom. Help us to work, to trade, to labor. And Lord, help us to be always mindful of those around us that you want us to help, to invest what you've given us in them that they might know you. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning, that we'd follow you with our whole heart. And whatever you've given us, Lord, it may be much, it may be little, but we'd be faithful, just like the widow who cast in her 2 mites at the temple treasury. We just give what you've given to us. We'll give you thanks. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just for a moment, I want to just ask this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, in just a moment we have the invitation. I want you to just come, just take this pastor by the hand and say, I need to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want to know heaven as my home when I die. I'm tired of my life the way it is now. I want to know the purpose of being a child of God. You just come. You're here this morning, though, as a Christian. What's God blessed you with? What are you doing with it? I'll leave the Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts about that. We might be faithful that one day that we might hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have an invitation. You need to come, you need to pray. Maybe you want to just have a little talk with Jesus. Let Him have His way. Father, thank You.